Last time on Idle Fantasy.
Give anyone who gives you any lip this from me, and it's just a little note saying I give Votic permission to do what the fuck he wants, basically.
As we're right by the interrogation room, would you reckon knock on the door, just fucking go? Really? That's what we're gonna go with, is it?
And you hear, hello?
It's Morian.
This is not the room for guards, no. And the, cool. And the slat closes in front of you.
I really want to get into that armory.
You cast your eyes up and you can see round the top of it there's a turret. And over the crest of the turret you can just see the barrel of a large firearm.
A gun.
Cannon.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to see what's in the dormitory.
You want to go into the dormitory?
Yeah, I want to see what's going on in there.
Aphoraph, you prick! What are you doing back in here? It's like, hey!
And this is bullshit. I'm going to stick up for him and then...
Don't listen to it.
Let's wrestle.
Let's
wrestle me, boy. Yeah. Wrestle me.
All right, Grace, let's go.
Bang! Straight on the table.
Oh, shit!
Amazing. You find a little flask of something corrosive.
Oh, there we
also
go.
Also find an enormous... arcane scroll.
Just for the record, I have given Paddy the Scroll of Silence.
Thieves' tools. Lob them into the back of the cell where Hess is.
You kind of flick it up for the back of your hand or something, and
yeah.
She just picks it out.
But yeah, I'm going to just go straight for Morian.
Maybe you should come in. Maybe you will help. Come, cowman, to me. I have a friend for you who has a magic potion. You recognize it instantly as a Minotaur.
What? Is that you?
Who the fuck is that?
Cliffhanger.
After 9 comes episode 10 of the Idle Fantasy Podcast, everybody.
Hey.
We can count. Thank God we can count. I am joined by Zachary Cole on the mic.
Hi, how's it going?
You're always on the mic, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm always on the mic.
I give you that every week.
Because otherwise, it would just be you three talking.
and
I'd be in the room.
Around the corner!
From the back.
10 episodes, that's double digits, guys. We've gone double digits.
That feels really low to me. I feel like we've been doing this for years.
Yeah, but it's quite... I mean, they're quite long episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel like we've not been together for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm. This is true.
So we sat down for a session.
Liam Walton, congratulations on your... on the historic milestone of 10 episodes. How
yeah.
do you feel on this momentous occasion?
Shout all over it, didn't he? He's got...
I feel like it's not momentous enough. Yeah. Come back to you when 70.
Fucking balloons, do you? Paddy Jervis, known as the balloons and streamers of the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Form.
Thank you very much, Dice Chief. You've
hey.
You're introducing me. And
it's sticky.
It's a real honour to be here.
I don't listen to the episodes, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah, no, Liam's got no interest in this podcast, apparently. He's just come here for the free tea and that sofa that you love so fucking much.
Oh, back on the love sofa.
Although Liam's made a big leap this week.
What's happened?
It's more of a lean.
Yeah, he's upright.
Yeah,
everyone.
He's upright for the first ever time.
In fact, I'm going to take a little photo for Insta so everyone knows and can see.
Just to prove it.
Yeah, exactly. Do a pose. Oh, shit, look at that.
What is
yeah,
this?
That is a good little
this is some Web 2.0 content.
Yeah, multi,
taking
multimedes.
Taking photos in media res.
Multimedias. So how's everyone been? We've been all right. I mean, I know actually. No, I'm directing that at Liam because I know how you two are. See you all the time.
It's just a chance to catch up with Liam, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been renovating a house or helping renovate a house.
Oh my word!
Yeah,
Put any traps in?
I've got some good. Yeah, I've built in like a Rube Goldberg style like mechanism to
break a cream egg or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hang on. Roll
yeah,
back.
Yeah, wait.
Break
yeah,
a
what?
Cream egg.
What?
Oh, that was the thing. That was the cream egg advertising campaign for years. Was Rube Goldberg machines that at the end of it they break
oh,
open.
Oh,
a cream
oh
egg.
Yeah.
I was like,
they
you know,
did
you know, you can
they?
Just bite into a cream
yeah,
egg.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
have to like top it like a boiled
yeah,
egg.
But don't ruin the surprise for Liam. He just yeah, he still can't break his.
He's got to wait for the Rube Goldberg machine started this morning and still going.
Yeah, exactly.
when he gets home, well, I'm going to enjoy.
And then I've got to set it back up again overnight for tomorrow's breakfast.
Just because I hate chocolate. we need to get to the sweet, sweet cream filling.
We are getting dangerously close to the cream egg time of year, though, aren't we?
We are dangerously.
Not when you listen to this, listeners, but...
It might be Easter.
This will be coming out. This is Good Friday today.
He is risen. Not yet. He'll be risen. Don't worry.
No, he's dead. Yeah, no, he's dead.
He's very much behind the stone.
Today.
All the bad shit happened today.
Oh God. Okay, we're here to cheer you guys up.
It's true, actually. It's a famously bad Friday, isn't it?
I've been to enough happy clappy churches in my time to know that's the whole point, Zach. It seems like a sad day, but actually we got God back or something.
It's actually God Friday.
They just spelled it wrong.
You just keep saying it wrong.
It's a typo.
It's a Bible typo.
It's good with inverted commas. It's Good Friday.
How are you, Zach?
I'm pretty good, actually. Yeah, I was just imagining going to a happy clappy church.
I went to I grew up, as Paddy will remember, in a tiny village called Cote in Oxfordshire, which was tiny. My dad, for some reason I still don't really entirely understand, was like the caretaker for the chapel, the tiny Cote chapel. And every year they used to do they would do only services on like big occasions like Easter, Christmas and stuff. And then it stopped. So we started going to the church down the road in Aston, which is like very C of E, big old building and blah, blah, blah. One year we went and we were really late and we got there really late and there was a sign on the door saying, oh, this year we're sharing our service with the Baptists down the road. And I was like, oh, okay. And we went down the road into like a fucking community centre rather than a church. And as you walked in, you saw there were loads of chairs set around a small swimming pool in the middle of the floor. And it turned out it was a double adult baptism come Easter service. Yeah. And the hymns were all super like, oh, Jesus, you're so fine. I really want to make you mine. Whatever. Is that it?
Yeah, that's a classic. That's him too.
But then they started singing this stuff. And then all these old bids in the front row went into their bags and they pulled out football scarves. And instead of football teams on it, they said stuff like Jesus is my champion and like 1-0 Jesus, and it was so weird. And then they baptized this poor 16-year-old like with like straggly black hair, looked like a Marilyn Manson wannabe, and they dunked him in the swimming pool and baptized him.
Oh my God.
It was one of the scariest days. I took a White Dwarf magazine, I was very happy. It was much better.
Well, they had complimentary White Dwarf.
No, I brought my own.
Hey, do you know what Jesus' football kit would be?
No.
The Gaza Strip.
Whoa.
Wow. That's also very controversial.
Yeah, like, that joke has got so many layers that make it not cool. Like...
It's very good. That was quick, guys.
It's very good.
We're not doubting the craft. It's just that what it makes you think about afterwards is quite troubling.
Like, yeah, that's a really good joke. And then you think about it. And then it goes, is it a funny joke?
It's a bit like being friends with me.
I mean, I know this is good objectively, but...
Oh. I remember my first Baptist experience was I went to a Baptist wedding in Ireland and there was like 200 people there and it was really a great atmosphere and stuff, and we were the wedding band, but we were invited to see the ceremony. We were right at the back.
Wow, that was a good thing on their part.
and old mate Vicar, whatever they call him in the Baptist church.
Baptismo.
He came out and immediately there was silence. And he slammed a Bible onto the like lectern and he went, love and marriage is like a washing machine. Aye. Because it comes with a strict set of instructions. And if you don't follow those instructions, it will break and there will be floods. And everyone was like, yeah, fucking right on. And we were like,
that sounds
much
better than mine.
Yeah, that sounds like being married to him would be horrendous.
Yeah.
I was once...
Just keeps bringing out the manual. Yeah.
You didn't make the tea right. I'm going to waterboard you.
Again.
That makes me think of a new father that I knew. Not a priest, but like someone who just had a baby daddy. He was kind of like saying he'd just had a kid and he'd also just bought a new washing machine. He was like, they basically got to be cared for in exactly the same way. You've got to watch out how much salt and water you're putting into both of them. But otherwise, like, just one needs to sleep and the other one doesn't.
Both love a tumble. Well, thank God we've cleared all this up, guys. Welcome to Baptist Cast, as it is now.
Yeah.
all your Baptist news hot and ready. Are you ready to go, boys and girls?
Damn
yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely. Very much so.
Because, I mean, apart from anything else, we are wildly underqualified to talk about the church.
At this level.
Like, we've got no...
They can't take it from us, mate. Then they should get out the God kitchen.
Yeah.
The God God
can't
kitchen.
Take the heat from heathens. The heathen heat.
The heathen.
Hell's
the
kitchen.
Heathens. Hell's, get out of Hell's kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh. Yeah. Maybe we are qualified to do this.
No, we're not. Very much not.
So, we catch up with you guys again at the Wickfields Guardhouse. Night is drawing in across Veld, bringing with it a night sky streaked with dark tendrils of cloud lit by its triple moons. Those are news to you. The bright mother and her two smaller sisters. In the mess hall of the guardhouse, the men and women of the militia are settling in for an evening meal. They're trading stories from their shifts from the den of thieves outside, swapping shifts for the week to come and making plans for their evening recreation. And next door, in the dormitory, the hulking figure of a fine young human man is hunched over a chest at the foot of one of the beds, a slender figure peering over his shoulder in a very creepy manner, regarding their take for the evening. Across the yard, where evening patrols set out with torches and dogs to stave off nighttime intruders, and in the prison cells, a muscular half-elf is standing alert in the middle of a holding cell, its other occupants keeping their distance as she stares at the tabaxi behind a desk. She's waiting for a moment. Around the corner, past prisoners in squalid, cramped cells, a whiskered rock gnome looms above the cowering form of a huge cow-headed creature. Mess that up. He's staring up at you in disbelief. As you hold out the yellow corona of Farsight, the twisted figure of Morian skulking outside the cell to watch. What are you going to do?
So I know this person, or he knows me?
Well, he certainly knows you, let's put it that way. He's looking up with you with this kind of recognition burning in his eyes. He's like, Vartek, what are you doing here? What's that? Are you one of them?
Okay, this might be a bonkers thing to do. I might neck the potion.
Yeah, okay. Bonkers. Yeah, full on bonkers.
That's pretty bonkers, but I like it.
Well, because like it's about getting insight into something. I think I kind of need to know who this person is.
Swig, okay. Swig it.
That is going to... Morian's going to think that's a bit weird. I've got something that's going to make him tell the truth. Glug, glug, glug.
It's gin.
Do you need all of it?
I'd half and half it. You want to save some for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Or like, off when we need to know other stuff.
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah.
A hearty swig.
A hearty swig.
And a bite of lime.
Okay. I don't know why in my mind's eye you're doing
corona.
This, maintaining like eye contact with him. And as you stare into his eyes, with a start, you can feel the strange sensation of memories attached to this figure kind of reconfigure and reconstitute in your mind's eye. Much like times before when you feel kind of disconnected from this new body and strange kind of tricks of perception. In a flash, you're sitting back in what you know, what Taryn knows, is Wotik's Alchemarium, and you're sat at a workbench as you brew up the morning's orders. And in strides this figure in front of you, this cow person, dressed in a kind of large leather apron covered in pockets and pouches. I guess I'm going to ask you, Liam, what do you reckon he looks like?
I think... he probably has like rough, calloused hands.
Much like you.
I think he's sort of older, like, you know, for the age of a cow person, I don't really know, but like, I think.
Cowman.
A cowman. I think, yeah, an older cowman. perhaps like. Indicated by like graying hairs in his mane and maybe kind of like a cracked horns.
Okay, yeah.
I think he has kind of quite sort of like sunken, like sort of like sad slash kind eyes.
Can you paint me a bit more of a word picture about his mane? Do cows have a mane?
I think that like bulls do, right? Yeah. Like I'm kind of picturing it like, yeah, like almost like a lion's mane sort of thing.
I just wanted to clarify that because it was mental.
Yeah, it is a bit.
I love it.
That like long ridge of hair down the back of their neck. Don't cows?
Yeah.
You could kind of style that. Maybe that's, you know, he's got hair on his head as well that he's kind of styled a little bit. I think that works really well. He could be a Highland cow.
Yeah.
That's true, actually. Yeah. Shaggy cow.
Oh, that's banging. Yeah.
I also think he's got a bit of a dad bod.
He's
got a bit of a pot, but he's got his, like, he never misses arm day. You know?
Yeah, he's still like, he's like old man hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, he pushes through the door to the Alchemarium and says, Oh, morning, Bartek. Oh, God. Sorry, I'm late. How are you getting on with whatever you're doing?
I am all right. I'm nearly through preparing, you know, the morning's potions. I would have liked a bit of help, but that's fine. No worries.
Oh, you know what it's like, Vati. So much to see you two, and I didn't get to bed quite late last night. She says, stretching out. She says, what are you making up anyway? Give me a. I think this might be an opportunity for you to uncover a bit of Vartic knowledge.
Ooh, nice.
So just roll a d20.
Wallage.
D20.
If you roll a 20, we'll cross that bridge when you get to it.
So that's a 4.
A 4. Okay, this is very flavourful.
You forget something about Vartic.
You forget you're a gnome.
Instantly. Who am I? You're brewing up an order of Alchemist's Fire.
Oh, hello. Guess it's time to take notes.
Yeah.
Well,
basically, what this is going to mechanically mean, you already know roughly how to make this Corona.
Yep.
Now you can add this to your list of kind of known recipes. It's effectively a little ranged weapon which can set something on fire. Like a little, you know, a little flask of... what do you call it? A tiny little napalm flask. A
Molotov.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like...
But not like that you light and throw one that like bursts and...
Exactly. It's like a little pressurised kind of grenade, fire grenade.
Fire nice. Grenade, yeah.
So I've been making that this morning.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nice.
Apparently you thought you were making potions, so you're clearly not.
Yeah. Still a potion.
Yeah, that's a potion. Yeah, I suppose. He says, I'm sorry, Vartek, it's just been... I've been running this place for decades now, and I'm just... My heart's not in it anymore. It's been so long since I've come in here and felt like I give a shit about making potions.
I just want to say, as your employee, as your friend... I'm very sympathetic as your employee. You're putting a lot on me, mate. Like, I don't need to know that about your kind of worries about your job. I'm trying to do mine here.
This is not how I thought this relationship would go. I love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, also, actually, I thought...
I just want to dance, Vartek.
I don't know why, but I thought Vartek was the one in charge. And I was like, fuck, you need to fire that guy straight away.
If I ever told you about my life before I set up this shop, before I moved to Veld, was something of an adventurer, you know. Now, don't laugh at me, Vartek. It's true. I used to delve into tombs with my companions and rescue fair princes in far-off kingdoms and collect rewards and drink. Oh, the drink and the women and the men. Oh, I miss those days, and I fear I'm old and creaky, and I'm never going to get another chance if I sit in this shop any longer. You understand, don't you?
Well, no, not really. That's so... I can't relate at all. I'm
so nuts. Like, all I can picture is a cow like walking around the world, just kind of like apparently fucking everything
just
he comes into contact with,
well.
Like drinking, gambling.
Yeah, if you were a big cow, you'd do it all.
I'd get on it. Yeah.
Look, I've been helping you out here, frankly, out of the goodness of my heart. And
well, I do pay you.
Well, I know. there's a financial element to it as well, but. Largely, I'm here to kind of like I'm here to help you, and you've got people who depend on you.
I fear Vartek.
Me, I yeah, me. You.
But Vartek, I don't do anything for you. There's nothing you need. You run this place on your own.
I know that, and I've been trying to tell you for ages. I could use your help because it is your shop after all.
What I'm trying to say, Vartek, is I think you can do this without me.
I know for a fact I can do this without you. I just don't want to.
You're too kind, Vortic. I know you just want me. You're trying to think of the best for me, but I really think it's time I let you spread your wings and fly.
Look, don't.
And his wings. Not everyone gets wings, Paddy.
Are you just saying you're going to leave me here?
I'm saying I'm thinking about it. I mean, you'll get full deeds to the shop, all the profits.
Say, you're reacting you pretty shop, badly mate. For like a guy who's just being given a full shop business income, and he's retiring. Essentially, is what's happening. In this scenario, you're kind of being a dick, Wattic.
Do you remember?
In the memory, we're at the side.
Yeah.
Let's go for the instant replay.
Yeah, with Statler and Waldorf in the little Muppet corner. Yeah.
Well, he's gone for the conversational cross block there. I think that's a poor move.
Yeah.
Like, do you even remember how I first got here?
Why, you were a starry-eyed little rock gnome in need of some extra funds, and I brought you on as an employee. Sure, that was all it ever was, wasn't it, Vortic?
I came here to buy something from you, and you got me to just help you out with a few odds and sods.
Well, you were so good at it.
I've been here now for 3 years.
No. Three, no, Vortic, no.
I love Wattic as a character. It's just like he walked into a shop and then just stayed there for 3 years. Were you popping out like from the wife and kids?
No, he hasn't slept either.
My dad is probably still waiting for that poultice.
His dad's outside the shop just waiting.
Vortic, I honestly think if you wanted to leave in the last 3 years, you would have done. The fact is, you've stayed here. You're the finest potion maker in town. People will come from miles around for your wares and, why, some of your special requisites. I think this is where you belong.
Aye, well, I can't argue with that. I suppose I could have moved on.
Good chap, there we go. Well, I'm off.
And he, like, you turn around, he's got, like, a backpack on. He's got a battle axe, like, sheathed by his side. This old helmet, which doesn't really fit his broken horns anymore. And he's like, I've got a gig down the pub. We're going to go dragon slaying.
I want to hang out with that character.
So, it's my shop now.
It's all yours, Vortic. And he kind of hands you a grubby pair of keys to the back room and says, it's all yours.
Can I change the name?
No!
So it was always called Wattic's shop.
I just thought Vattic ignored him.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be named after me. I was never. I didn't like that plan 2.5 years ago. I feel like it's incredibly egotistical, and it's even worse now you're not here.
It's weird you called it Wattic's shop.
And that was the last time you ever saw your old boss, Zebish.
Zebish.
Zebish. Which is in a document you gave me several weeks ago.
Yeah, I know.
As with all, there's all this stuff from your guys' backstories. It's in a spreadsheet. It'll come up.
You guys are better at names than I am.
Mate, I like that.
I quite like my approach to names, but you coming out as Zeb, I would never have gone with Zebish.
What would you have gone with? Zrakbridge.
Cowlin? Cowlin.
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 Cowlin. Works. Cowlin's nice, man.
And with a start, you're, you know, again, through this fuzz and through this weird kind of dissociation for a second, you open your eyes, Vortic's eyes once again, and you're looking at Zebish now, who looks much as he did that day, maybe slightly gaunter. Maybe he looks a little bit like he's been in the wars, but that might be as much to do with being in this place as it is anything else.
I think I'm going to grab him by a tuft of his mane, Zach.
fair play. Like, yeah, you've definitely established that, but you also missed a cracking opportunity to say, I'm going to take the ball by the horns.
Oh, God.
I'm just like, you know what? Like, all you've done there is just
highlight
your own inadequacy.
I'm going to
take the cow by the mane. That is the second, that is the response.
I'm going to grab the cow by the mane, and I'm going to, like, pull him in. I'm going to be, Zebish, you damned fool.
How did you get in here?
The job was a load of shit, Fartik. They took us on a merry dance down to the docks and then stole all our stuff and put us up for a crime that I don't know what happened.
The dragons we were slaying turned out to be banks we were robbing.
Just so I know, like, as someone enjoying the podcast, when did that happen, that scene?
Well, really, it's only been, I mean, how long have you guys been parading around for? 48 hours, a couple of days?
Yeah, maybe 3 days.
And considering, considering Vartik had a load of flyers, you know, advertising his places under new management when you switched in, probably not that long ago, probably a week, more than that, slightly, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Vartik himself had a pretty rough road, didn't he? Like, just like went to the shops, ended up with a full-time job for 3 years that he hated. His boss fucked off, and then immediately a week later, he was occupied by a foreign, like, foreign entity.
Foreign body, yeah.
I think actually as well, like, this is, I imagine that was quite a confusing experience for Taryn.
Taryn, yeah.
Because I feel like the response now is, like, I think she's slightly responding as Vartik rather than, like, as Taryn.
Yeah.
And I think she's just genuinely worried about her friend slash old boss.
Nah, fuck him.
So yeah, like, you've been arrested.
I don't know what happened. We were set up for some bunch of bastards set us up. They promised us adventures and riches, and oh, they just took all our stuff. We had to bring the money for the job, and they ran away with that as well. I'm a blind fool, Vartik. I should have never left the shop. How is it, by the way? Sales good?
So you remember our arrangement with the Duke?
Oh, yes, yes.
I've sort of terminated that.
You what? He's suddenly like, Vartik, what are you doing? He's got to be around. He's got to send his goons.
So snorting and pouring the blood. Shitting everywhere.
And edit. Don't worry, I'm currently in negotiations with him. There's a different arrangement. It'll all be reet. But first, we got to get you out of here. What did you do?
Well, once I lost everything, I went to the pub and didn't have any money to pay, so I took a load of beers, and one thing led to another, and I was... I don't want to talk about it, but they have valid grounds for locking me up, Vartik. That's all I'll say.
And why specifically are they torturing you?
That I don't know about. And at this point, Morian has been watching this little kind of guy. Just,
Mr. Potion Man, what is happening? What is the hold up? Why do you know Cal?
Got him talking. I've got him talking.
What's he say? What does he say? I don't hear anything useful.
He's admitted his crime.
Oh yes, and it is.
Drunken carousing, as far as I can tell.
Oh, that is boring. I thought he did something cool. He looked like a big cow man with some kind of cool backstory, but no, he's just drunk cow.
He's just a drunk cow. And he's a terrible boss.
Oh, is he? You have, what they say, history.
I know this man. Don't worry. Well, this cow.
I need to look at, give me this potion. I want to look. I want to see what you make.
Well, Reese, I guess I hand it over.
She's holding it up to the light. Vim is still here, your half-elf?
Yeah, half-elf.
Yeah.
Your half-elven guard friend, and he's kind of very confused by all these goings on. And you see Morian loose the cork, dip a dainty finger in around the rim, and...
Oh, it is a little like ale. It's, oh, but lighter. Maybe it would be good with citrus.
I don't know. And then, and as she's kind of in this, you know, little reverie, she suddenly boof, and her eyes are kind of wide open for a second. She says, "Oh, whoa,
Jesus! I can see everything.
It's really good. Perfect for the hot day.
Why can I see? I see pirate ship." Oh, I see a lady pirate ship. Oh, it's gone. What is this?
Sing it.
What do you call this? You make this yourself in your shop.
Aye. So I call this the Corona of Farsight.
Corona of Farsight.
And one of the benefits of it is it sort of muddles the brain, and it often makes people reveal things, basically confuses them.
I have always wanted to be on pirate ship. This is true.
Mm. Do you feel more predisposed to tell me your secrets?
You are a cute little man, but no, not today. But I did only have a tiny bit. I'll have another experimental candidate in mind. And she turns around with a flounce and walks towards the back of this chamber, where, if you remember before, there's this big brocaded curtain drawn across the kind of final third of the room.
Okay, before I follow her, can I just check if Zebik's chained up or if he's free?
Zebish.
I'll get his name.
You get your own boss's name. That's probably why he was so keen to leave.
Yeah.
He's not... No, remember, he's in this little cell off to the side, which Morin has unlocked for you. Like, he's in pretty bad shape. But at the moment, the door's open. It's Vim is kind of standing vaguely near the doorway, but not really paying too much attention.
I think I might just try and say very quietly, under my breath, if you want out of here, wait for my signal, and then come.
Okay.
Right.
A jailbreak.
Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak. Just don't be a dick about it, right? Just like...
Right. Of course.
Just be cool, please. Just... God's sake.
It's a cow venture.
Is the beholder still in the room with you, by the way, as well?
What beholder?
What's the beholder?
What beholder? And Morian, as you pass these words on to Zebish, Morian goes to the end of the room, turning over a shoulder with a kind of, you know, filmic quality. You know, she knows she loves this kind of shit. Her lab coat billowing in the kind of non-breeze inside here. She pulls back the curtain and you see, not quite strapped to a table, but certainly secured, a shabby human man. He's got dark, receding hair, a very large, black, scraggly beard. These plain patchwork robes, which in different places have been rolled up or kind of slashed back. You can see there are wounds on his arms. There are burn scorch marks all over his body. And he's kind of barely conscious over there. And she says, "My little Frederick, it is time for a new treatment." And she kind of goes to rouse him.
Fucking hell. She's a nasty piece of work.
I kind of quite like her though. Like, I'm getting more on board with her than I am with like other NPCs.
You just turned on.
Oh, look, we all know who you're talking about. You hate Hess.
Yeah, I do hate Hess.
All right, I think I approach the table.
Yeah, of course.
Describe it, Liam. Come on. Describe approaching the table.
Can you? I don't want to administer this while he's bound, because he might thrash a little bit and he might hurt himself.
Ooh, that's definitely persuasion there for me.
It's probably not very successful.
I mean, if it is a good roll, then that's fine. But
you've shown yourself to be a fine practitioner of the arts. Mm. You know, maybe
you shouldn't get away with that lie. The man you're torturing might hurt himself if I give him this potion.
It's not a strong roll. That's a 10 plus 1, 11.
11, she says, nonsense. No, you know your work, potion man. I know my work, which is making people squeal. And she pokes, this man here. She says, now, let us see if his brain is already quite woo. So maybe this will dislodge it even further. I don't know the implications it is. And she kind of slaps him gently on the cheek. And this man gently rouses. She says, what? Are you fucking more of you, woman? Oh, opens her eyes, says, fuck's sake. What is it now? And she's just a little treats, little boy, no way. And she's like over his mouth, about to uncork the potion and pour it into his gob.
Okay. Ah, fuckle sticks. I think it's time for me to...
Stab her in the back.
It's time for me to act.
Wait, before you do stab her in the back, there's another guard in the room, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's Vim. But
Yeah.
I think we've got to.
You're gonna take him.
I think what I'm gonna do is just bellow, Zebish, don't kill anyone, but deck him. And I'm gonna try and get the jump on Morian.
Okay, you're behind her. She's fully enraptured in this. You know, the joys of tortured. of torture, the joys of torture. So I think if you, what are you dagger out fists? What are you? What's the idea?
Tiny fists, just batter on the back.
What is the mechanic for that in D&D? Actually, like, if I'm standing behind someone and I stab them in the neck, like, that's got to be insta death, right?
Kind of depends on the situation slightly. Usually, what you'd get is just a sneak attack or an attack with advantage if you were someone else.
Okay, yeah.
But it's out of turn order as well.
yeah,
interesting.
But yeah, there are certainly, if you can make a convincing case of that, like, I'm behind them and I've got a dagger to their throat, like
they're
yeah.
dead.
Yeah,
and I know that you can, like, there's a class of rogue, isn't it, where you can, like, what's it called, like assassin, isn't it? Yeah, where they can insta kill, like, if they've not been looked at.
I mean, I don't really want to stab someone who, as far as I'm aware, is innocent, but I think I'm going to go for
the torturer.
Yeah, I don't know. We have story.
A moral conundrum about killing the torturer.
She's just living her truth, man.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go for what I think is. I'm gonna try and stab her, but something she can recover from.
Okay, so you're not trying to finish about her. The you're
trying to incapacitate everything. Her.
What did you say, Zachy?
I'm just saying, like, Paddy and Liam are so squeamish about it. Like, I can't wait till, like, Paddy, I've got big plans for our bit.
I'm gonna
kill everyone.
I just think it's what I think of Wotick. It's just like, whenever Wotick does something that could in any way be construed as, like, violent or, like, sneaky, I'm always like, oh my god, like, but he's so lovely. He's so, and then he's just like, right, then I'm gonna stab her in the neck or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay, hit the jugular.
Whereas when I'm doing stuff, you're just kind of walking around, like, he's gonna kill that guy.
Yeah, he's gonna fuck everyone up.
He doesn't kill that guy. He's like, you know what, that time he did not kill everyone.
I think I'm going to try and stab her in the gut.
All right, whoa. Excellent. You might have to refresh my memory of the rules for a sneak attack, but can you? Okay. What level are you? You're second.
Second level, yeah.
Should we fill, Paddy? Should we?
Yeah, we start.
Should we fill it?
Yeah.
They're Googling.
I think that.
Also, this is quite fun as well, because there's, for the listeners at home, it's kind of a race between Liam with a book and Laurie with a laptop.
Who's going to win?
It's getting, you know, pretty close. Laurie seems to be pulling ahead right now. I can tell.
Advantage, because must use a finesse or a range around.
I mean,
which damage
he won.
The amount of extra damage increases with class, which is in the table.
Has he's not speaking on this.
Oh, has he won?
1d6 extra.
1d6 extra? Fuck me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you should have gone straight for the neck.
All right, so,
because she's now going to fuck you up.
Well, this is what it is.
So roll a normal attack with advantage.
Okay. With advantage.
Oh. Absolutely.
So that's a 19 and a 20.
Those will both do it. And now roll to damage.
That was a 1 plus 3
fucking hell
is okay. 4
now, so add, and now roll another d6 of damage.
Another d6, that's a 6.
10
damage.
Four.
Massive numbers there, lads.
Yeah, so you were standing behind someone with a knife and you've managed to, like, scrape them.
10 would kill me, I think.
Yeah, like, yeah,
in fair,
it's almost killed her.
Oh really
with that. She, where are you jamming it, where are you aiming for?
I'm going, like, so I think that one of either Vatic or Taryn probably understands enough about anatomy to know where is the sort of thing that'll hurt like hell but you'll recover from.
So the kidney.
Yeah,
like, kind of like, yeah, like up into the ribs, you know, kind of.
Actually, just to be really clear, listeners, I don't think you could survive a knife to the kidney. I'm not saying
that. Like, it's a classic kidney shot. Yeah.
Okay. Like, she might struggle to digest wheat, but she will live.
Keep her in life long. Gluten intolerance. You jam it right up in there and you give it a little twist, probably the extra second you've been afforded, and she drops the corona it spills out over the floor. This human man, again, opening his eyes, like, like, fucking hell, and she crumples to the floor. And we will pick up what happens there in a bit. Welcome back to the middle plane of the Idle Fantasy podcast. It's the middle bit, and I'm joined by the wonderful Liam Welton for the first time.
Hi!
Making your middle debut. How does it feel?
It's nice. Middling, actually.
Right down the middle.
Yeah,
distinctly
yeah.
Distinctly average. How are you, man? This is the first time, you know, you've got to see this inner sanctum.
Nice. You've done a lovely job decorating here.
Thanks, man.
Actually, I must say, the curtains are a lovely touch.
This is the bit you guys don't get to see when I'm... and it's particularly nice to have you, old Lizza, because I don't often get to chinwag with other DMs, you know, down the DM club.
Yeah.
We all go at the weekends. And it's particularly nice because you ran a game that I played for a long time. We've mentioned on the podcast a few times.
So, yeah.
It's just nice to chat the shit with another professional.
I genuinely think that the best thing you can do as a DM is talk to other DMs about their experience. Like
certainly.
That is, I reckon, like I would say when I'm doing a good job of DMing, it's 90% kind of like working off of like shared stories that other people have given me and 10% like original kind of thoughts.
100%. Anyone who pretends they sit there and write, particularly if you're like writing a campaign or something, it's like, yeah, well, I've come up with all this completely original stuff. And it's like, well, you're writing about elves, number one. So J.R.R. Tolkien wants to work. Yeah, there's very little you can kind of take ownership of. And so you should embrace the
shoulders of giants thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Is there anyone who you particularly kind of go and listen to? Or
well, actually, this is not someone who you'll have ever heard DM, but I used to work with a very talented writer called Chris Gardner at Fail Better Games.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a very, very accomplished DM as well. And he's just like at every... like it influences a lot of his game design decisions and his like narrative design decisions. If you haven't checked out Fail Better Games' work, by the way, and you like video games, go check out Fallen London or, you know, anything like Fallen London, Sunless Sea.
Sunless Skies.
Sunless Skies just come out.
I've just been playing, which is brutal but fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you'll get all of that goodness from Chris Gardner. And he's just a fantastic DM. And he gave me some like amazing advice when I was first starting out. And yeah, I respect him tremendously.
Wow. That's really good. Because I don't know. I didn't really think about playing D&D for the longest time, and when it came to starting a campaign with some mates, it was just like, well, I'm going to see what goes on. But I listen to like people like Matthew Colville and Matt Mercer, obviously.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's just amazing. Those little tips videos, which are on YouTube, which you haven't checked out. I mean, actually, don't check them out because probably before long you'll realise that everything I do is just ripped from those two.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's really important to go and see what else is out there. Maybe I'll start collaborating with other evil DMs to give you, you know, some scruples to deal with.
It would be interesting running a game that was made up entirely of people who had previous... because, like, what you find is that, like, certain people gravitate towards DMing.
I think so.
And it would be sort of interesting to kind of create a DM, like, dungeon group. Like, who knows, maybe it'd be a too many cooks situation. Yeah. Or I don't know.
Well, one thing I always like the idea of, and someone, I think it's Matt Colville's talking about doing this, but giving NPCs in your campaign over to either other players or other DMs to be like, okay, so in between sessions, what's the baddie going to do?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's, I love the sound of that. Well, get your answers on a postcard, lads. If you've got any suggestions for us, lads and ladies, we'd love to hear them. Would we? Yeah.
I'll take them.
Speaking of making recommendations, Liam Welton, how can people get in touch with our little podcast?
Well, you can listen to us every Fantasy Freaky Friday. That's hashtag Fantasy Freaky Friday. Go to iTunes or whatever app you like. Whatever. I hit the mic stand at that point.
Wasn't the word app bringing you out in a rash?
Yeah, absolutely. I hate app. Application. Don't abbreviate. This is what gave us Brexit. Abbreviations, the fucking devil. Whatever you use to listen to podcasts, you'll find us on there. Do give us a like and a subscribe on iTunes. Like reviewing us on iTunes is really important, because that, I know this is like boring stuff that you'll hear if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you'll hear this all the time, but that is the way that people actually find us. Is
true.
But word of mouth, equally important. Just like let people know, like if you think there's someone who will enjoy this, like let them know about it. You can also visit idlefantasy.com and you can kind of find our archive episodes up there. You can see our character sheets and loads of good stuff. Like, you know, we're constantly uploading new stuff up there. At Idle Fantasy Pod on Twitter, Pads runs that. Well, not just Pads, but it is really, really funny content.
Pads does the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. His is the good shit. Followers on there. And Instagram, same. Idle Fantasy Pod on Instagram. Mm. Like, we've got some like great stuff up there. If you want to send us any messages, then, you know, drop us an email at idlefantasypodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Listening. Yeah, it's we really, really nice. Appreciate you listening.
Yeah, well, I remember when we started this, because you've done a lot of podcasts before this, Liam. We were, and as has Paddy and Zach has a lot of experience with it, we were all going, well, if we get 20 people, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? If we get a couple of people. But it's been really nicely, pleasantly surprising to actually have
come out in droves.
Yeah.
Hordes.
So keep it up and get your friends involved as well. We'll have a big, nice time together.
Yep. And look forward to our next episode dropping on the 3rd of May.
3rd of May.
What episode's that going to be?
That's going to be episode 11. Double figs. But this is episode 10, so we're already there. But proper double figs next week.
Yeah.
Holy, well, mackerel. That's all I can say. Thanks, mate. Nice to have you here. I'll see you again in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're back to you two boys elsewhere.
Robbing a chest.
I like this.
Having a dance.
We've kind of got, you know, first half, which is, you know, amateur torturing with Liam Welton. And then we've got Big Boys, Big Adventure on the other side of town.
Fabulous Breaking Boys.
Fabulous Breaking Boys.
We've got
that is brilliant.
There's someone who grew up near Whitney.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What I missed that. I feel like that went over my head.
Fabulous Baking Boys are a cake company. And we are fabulous and breaking into a place, and we're boys.
Are they big? Is that a big cake? I've never heard of that cake.
No, no.
They did have a factory near Whitney.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did a bit of work experience there.
Did you?
Yeah.
I am glad, actually, that we did establish that, because otherwise, like, people listening at home that are not from Whitney would have been like, that was a weird joke that they were fucking proud of themselves
for. I think they still would have quite like, you know, they, yeah. Or I would have gotten away with it, like I usually do.
So,
is that recording? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a...
Yeah, it doesn't follow with the line.
No.
As mentioned before, you boys have just cleaned out the dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
And you have plans to move out. This place is kind of emptying. There are a couple of people eyeing you up suspiciously, but Zach, as you kind of roundly proved your dominance, asserted your dominance over the room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nobody's giving you any shit in here.
No, that's good. Yeah, because Paddy and I have had a bit of time, obviously, between sessions of recording to think about this. And we've thought as far as, let's rob the shit out of the armory.
Like, that's the thing. So we've robbed a bit of this room.
Let's
but there's still people here. You know, we might... Let's go
where there are fewer people and rob the whole fucking building.
Well, you say fewer people. There's like six people and a cannon. But, like, we'll...
Are there?
Yeah, the armory's like got the armory's
two people
got,
in it.
Got like, well, it's got guards and it's got the thing on top that's probably got guards and turrets and stuff. We don't know. There's definitely going to be guards there.
There's two guards in the door.
Yeah, banging. Do we have a plan for that?
Or yeah, I actually did have a plan.
Oh yeah,
which I could run past you guys.
All right,
and Loz can give us no indication of whether it will work or not.
Absolutely
great.
Not.
I was thinking we've got a scroll of silence as per last episode. I'm just going to take a little quick look because it does so. Blah, blah, blah. So, 20-foot radius sphere. Okay,
yeah,
centered on a point, right?
It makes, just to clarify, it makes literally like a bubble.
Yeah.
Which no sound passes out of and no sound passes into.
So, what I'm thinking is that everyone's having dinner.
Yeah.
No one's really paying attention or in the courtyard. If we create a sphere of silence around the armory,
We
can be as loud as we want in attacking it. And so, we could actually fight our way in.
Oh, I see. Nice. I mean, I imagine the armory's probably bigger than than 20 feet.
It is slightly bigger.
So,
yeah, so, but what, just so center it, like, just, you know, try and don't, like, if we create a sphere around the armory and then you go out of that sphere and create a noise, then I I haven't thought about it that far ahead, but like that would be annoying.
All right.
That would be so annoying.
All right, building off that plan, why don't we... I mean, we could have a look, see if there's anywhere, you see, around the armory, if there's anywhere that we could like silence off like half of it or whatever, make a bob around the wall, and then like burn our way through the fucking wall.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking if we center it around the armory, right, that'll cover most of it. All we really need to cover is the front door properly. That's where the majority of the sound's going to come from, because that's where the guards are. So for as long as we got a bubble around that bit, smash out the guards, acid our way into it, into the armory.
I think we could just walk through the door at that point. They're just guarding the door.
I mean, unless it's open. Locked.
Yeah, yeah.
You've just pointed at the
Well,
map.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There's not a door on it.
See what, guys? One way to find out.
Is there a door?
Let's go to the armory.
Go and have a look. That's my usual.
We've walked past it. There's definitely a door.
There's there's. It's an open doorway. It's like a, it's like a fort. It's like a little keep. So it's just like, it's just a stone, you know, arch doorway.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And there was some sort of bureaucracy last night, wasn't there, that meant that we couldn't just walk in or out. We've got to have like a permission slip or something to get to get a weapon.
Yeah. Yep. So we're just gonna have to.
We could be we could be less aggressive, and like I could be pretending to take my axe back,
and then I could cast a spell.
Yeah, like that would get us in. Yeah. And then we cast. So if I pretend to take my axe back.
Yeah.
Or warhammer, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then as we're inside, cast the sphere of silence.
Rob everything. Knife them.
Yeah.
Get up on top. Start firing the cannon.
Yeah, but it'll be silent. And then they'll just be
we
like, cannon.
We could fucking launch the cannon. So we hadn't thought about that.
That actually would be right.
We've said the word cannon 100 times and not once have I thought, that's cool.
Yeah,
it took you long enough. Jesus.
That's fine. That'd be number one on Jervis's list.
That's true.
Yeah, and if we can silence
also,
the cannon, they won't hear it.
They won't hear it coming. They'll just be cannonballs fucking hitting shit. And they'll be like, where are they coming from? Who knows?
Probably the cannon. They might get that far. But like, who's throwing these balls? Yeah, all right, sweet, man. Let's go rob an armory.
I love how pure your guy's image of how this is going to go is. It's like, yeah, I mean, there's nothing that can go wrong. But
I know, everything can go wrong. Just like,
I'm magic.
Yeah.
I can do all this shit.
I just think, you know, I mean, in guise of a better plan, I don't think we've got enough necessary skills to actually break in an effective, proper heist way.
No, just do
it. We can put them to sleep.
Yep. All right, so yeah, for the purposes of the episode then, so Loz, what dice do I have to roll to just like, do that.
You got to take me through it step by step. So you're walking out across the courtyard.
Yep.
To the armory.
I knew there'd be a catch.
Any eyes on the armory other than the guys, the two guys guarding it?
Give me a probably perception check. That'll be just, you know, to idly pick it up as you're walking through.
Mm-hmm. Draw. That's a 5 + 0. That's a 5.
Great.
5.
Fucking hell.
You cannot see
anything.
There's nobody. You can't see any sentries or anything that have got eyes on it. The only thing you notice is there are patrols. I say patrols. There is a patrol currently walking away from you through the courtyard, through the yard. Two people, a torch and a dog. But they're walking away from you at the moment.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, now's our fucking chance then, I guess.
Yeah.
Are we just, so straight up?
So let's just straight up, and then we'll try the whole... We'll try the whole, like, I'm giving my Warhammer back. I need to, like, log it or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll try that tact. And if that's starting to go sour, then you be prepped to...
I'll be like, yeah, here's the fucking permission slip, mate.
And
bust
bang,
open the scroll.
And then bang, yeah.
Sphere, knives, whatever. Well, so we've changed, Matt. I've changed.
Yeah. God, I'm such a good influence.
An extension of Cassie. Well, yeah, your influence. Also, Cassie's been like, I can do this with no repercussions.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing's going to go wrong. You head over and...
Yeah.
Unlike before, there are two new guards because the rotors have changed. Instead, there's this huge hulking human woman. She's got blonde hair, half of it shaved off, and a kind of tattooed face. And a dwarven woman next to her who is smoking a pipe profusely.
Cool. Hello. So I'm just gonna drop my axe back off here.
And then we're going to go get some hot dinner.
Yeah, just before dinner, you know, get the axe back in.
Right, okay. I'm not seeing
logging off.
Axe?
Well, I keep saying axe. Warhammer.
That would be a big flaw in your plan.
Yeah, that's, immediately it's like, he's lying.
Not an axe.
I know he's lying because it's the wrong thing.
The human woman just kind of shrugs, and the dwarven woman just... exhales. I like you all watching me too. This is great. The power I have right now. And then she puts the pipe back in her mouth.
I get out my vape.
Oh yeah, you've got a magic vape.
Not canon, no.
Yeah, I thought he did have a vape, didn't he?
It's my focus.
Yeah, it is.
Got like a long pipe.
Yeah. Magic vape.
My world, not yours.
It's how I cast fog cloud.
Can I make it canon in that if everyone's smoking, I want to smoke too. Teddy can... Actually, no, he'd be terrible.
So our plans immediately changed. We're going to go and smoke with these people.
Well, no, I've been waiting for them to react, and she's taking a long time.
She says, don't recognise a pair of you, but got the uniforms. Is it one of ours, the Warhammer? Do we need to keep it in?
Yeah, it's a, like... Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. It'd be weird, wouldn't it?
What about you, Elf? What have you got?
Put back the old daggers, you know.
Oh, didn't know they gave out daggers. She looks over to the blonde woman. She kind of shrugs again and just goes, well, I don't know.
They're very, very...
Not strong enough to nice. Carry an axe, you see, so they give them smaller ones.
They're very nice daggers.
And she's like, yeah, it's fine. I don't... Not trying to make friends. Yeah, head in. Head in. I'll search you on the way out, though, if you've got anything you're not meant to.
I mean,
straight
into
Jarnell.
I get why NPCs are mean to Teddy, because he's kind of an irritating city boy wanker. But at the same time, every NPC treats me so badly.
It's also because these are people doing the night shift at a guardhouse.
I would, in a bar, I'd treat that guy like a dick, because he probably is a dick. But you know, like even the barman, or the barman that was a bird, was kind of a dick.
He literally just said back to you what you said
to
him.
Yeah, that was a real arsehole. That guy was an arsehole. He wouldn't engage in conversation.
And
mocking me.
Let's just barrel on in then.
The drama woman nods you in and says, just watch out. There's nobody manning lockers today, so you have to find it yourself.
Okay.
Thanks very much. We'll make it quick, obviously. Yep. Don't want to take up too much of your time.
Okay, have fun.
Have a nice smoke. yeah, cool. So we made it in. And actually, so far, we don't need the Scroll of Silence because we're not killing anyone.
Mate, until we fire that cannon, boy.
So you head in and you're in this... you know, it's still like a dirt floor. This is not really a particularly well-maintained place. But towards the back, there's a raised kind of stone platform. There's a staircase, a very spindly wooden staircase leading up to a lair above, a floor above. But here there are several kind of large metal cabinets, really massive drawers, a bit like a kind of mortuary or something, numbered 1 through 20. They're kind of at the opposite end. Elsewhere in here, there are a couple of racks with some helmets and tabards, that kind of thing. It's generally, you know, what you'd expect, a kind of combination dressing room and also a holding, you know, where they'd hold stuff. Mm.
If I put a helmet on, do I get a better armor class?
You don't, actually.
That's
no.
Dumb, isn't it?
Mm. There are certain helmets which give you certain benefits, but in general, no.
Are any of them in this room?
Give me an investigation check.
So there's just shit everywhere, right? So
yeah. Give me an investigation check. Yeah. See what you can pick up.
I want to see, so like my check is just general. I want to see like if there's anything in this room that like takes my fancy that I can identify as
cool shit.
And also I feel like Draka would like know about good weapons.
Definitely. Yeah. If he rolls well.
Here comes the one. You lose all functioning ability to see. That's 17 plus. What would that?
Investigation intelligence.
0, 17.
Yeah, well, you certainly do pick up on some cool stuff in here. So you can tell that those lockers down the end are almost certainly kind of evidence lockers, or what they've taken from places, and the stuff around you is the gear they give out to guards and recruits. A couple of things stand out in here. Number one, the door you've just come through, you can see there is a bell set up inside the doorway with some kind of very rough copper wiring leading from it, and a big kind of, for want of a better word, button underneath it. That's the first thing you can see. Secondly...
Is that an alarm?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's alarm. I just was like, I press the button. No, I don't. No, don't press the button.
The second thing you see is in amongst the wooden racks, you're kind of just casting your eyes around. You can see the spears. And then what you think is a spear, you look at it again and you see the wood of the handle of this thing is very different. And the head, what you thought was a glinting kind of spearhead, is in fact this beautifully carved eagle's head with these two piercing blue eyes, probably from I don't know, gemstones or something in it.
Cool.
Up in all this gear, near cool. the racks, but kind of just stowed with all this gear.
Cool.
And the last thing you notice.
Well, it's not a spear.
It's like a staff.
Not a spear.
But it's like, yeah, okay.
The third thing you notice is the rack that it's on. It's all on its own, and it's got a kind of little handwritten note which says potentially dangerous. Do not touch.
Cool. All right. oh, dude, don't worry about it.
Slitch's robes rise from his midriff.
and touches it gently with his boner.
Before Paddy and I start to touch everything and take everything we can see.
Well, I haven't had a look around yet.
Any evidence that's worth like noting?
That's what I was going to look for.
There may well be, but there are 20 closed lockers.
Oh, yeah, they're closed lockers. Yeah, can I detect magic, please?
Yeah, you certainly can.
Because
you've got spells
I can
now.
Do that now.
Fucking hell!
And that
and
means
it's useful for the group.
It's useful for the group, and it means that if there are any like magical booby traps or anything like that,
yeah,
it's kind of what I'm looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Do you so want to look at the?
Is that just a straight up roll?
I don't know.
I should know actually. I wrote it down for this.
I will tell you. So it takes one action. For the duration, you sense the presence of magic within 30 feet.
30 feet, yep.
You sense magic this way. You can use your action to see a faint aura around any visible creature or object in the area that bears magic, and you can learn its school of magic, if any. The spell can penetrate most barriers, but if it's blocked by a foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, a thin sheet of lead, or 3 foot of wood, or
and so is this going to take up a spell slot as well?
This will take up one of your first level spell slots.
How many of those have you got?
Of how many two? I have two.
Sweet.
And I'm gonna save the next one because I've got a cool Divine Smite thing that I might need to use later. Alright, I'm gonna roll dice.
No.
You just detect magic.
Just cast it. Yeah, you just
cast it.
Fuck, magic is easy. No wonder you guys are wizards. Okay, like, I'm spending my whole time blindly
that
swinging
the
shit.
Last thing that you would say with all the experiences of my magic you've had.
that's true, actually, yeah.
Nothing could ever possibly go wrong, say, whilst you're on fire being eaten by fish or whatever I've done to you.
Mostly that's come about because you've like just taken my ability to see.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Is there any magic?
given the kind of constraints of this spell, the bell near the door has a faint aura. Certainly magic involved somewhere there. The staff is like a sunburst. It is giving off a huge amount of magical energy, which you can tell using this spell is from the Conjuration School. Which is about transporting objects and creatures from one location to another, summoning creatures, or teleporting, or creating objects and effects out of nothing.
I immediately give it to Paddy.
Don't touch it.
No, why not?
And the only other thing you...
They say don't touch it.
So it's potentially dangerous, don't you?
In the lockers at the far end, you can get a kind of general hum off it, but there's one drawer in particular which is giving off quite a faint, but nonetheless a magical signature.
Alright, cool. Alright, yeah, so I now know that's magical. Oh, fuck it. Yeah, I grab it. I give it to Glitch. Like, it's a magic staff. Fully.
Do you
want to
grab
powerful.
It or shall I? We've definitely both seen it.
Alright, yeah, so I will just say out loud. Yeah, Glitch, don't know what you want to do about that, but that thing seems fucking powerful. I'd say you wing that. Grab it. And I'm going to go and get whatever's in that drawer over there.
Should we maybe silence first?
I reckon let's just do it. So cast the spell.
Right, you just look at me and I start opening the scroll.
Yeah.
Elaborately. And
I reckon if we center it, if it's 20 feet, right?
It'll be fine. Sphere, like...
No, but I was thinking if we do it like so it's not the guards outside, like do it kind of like the floor of us and then that'll go all the way up to the cannon.
Up to the cannon.
Yeah. So it's like a sphere around our floor, the cannon, and whatever the alarm is as well. But it's not going to like...
That'd be convenient, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so that is exactly as convenient as I need it to be.
The pointer I'll give you is you know that the cannon's above you, above the doorway.
Yeah.
If you can sense this in the middle of the room rather than on the floor, more likely to work.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, yeah, so center it, middle of the room, alarm and cannon.
Great.
But not the guards.
That's what I'm going to try and do.
Cool.
So the second you point out the staff to me... scrolls out, yeah. And I'm doing this sort of, it's kind of like a Morris dance, I imagine.
Yeah.
Like sort of all these things, like
very,
very quietly, like, or like a flag dance, you know, that they do with the sort of things in the bands, you know. Like,
yeah, kind of know what you mean. Like one of the, well, I'm an
maypole, and I'm sort of twirling this thing around, and I imagine the scroll kind of begins to glow.
Like, like baton dancers, whatever they're called, like the people that.
Yeah, exactly. Twirl boy. I'm twirl boying because I'm so excited to get this done, but I'm trying to do it so quietly, and cool. I'm going to center it on that little raised point, so we can cover cannon, alarm, door, and then we can get down to business.
Okay.
Bidness.
Yeah.
You cast a spell and you see this kind of slightly shimmery, but not like, it's not like an obvious sphere.
Yeah.
This little point extends and blooms, and as it passes over you, you feel all your ears completely deafen.
Oh, bollocks, we can't talk to each other
and
anymore, can we?
The room. No,
it doesn't go in or out. You can still hear stuff inside,
I'm
though.
I'm afraid not.
No, you can't.
You should have read the spell.
Yeah, you can't. Everyone's deaf inside.
Sick. That's even better.
So, and then the two of you, you're probably presumably finishing your flourish, you're like...
yeah, it's like, no, it's the massive scream and you don't hear anything. So I'm just sort of dancing and doing like the wanker thing to the guards and like...
Yeah, like just really loudly, like just screaming obscenities.
And immediately, like, should I just have a little quick... tiptoey dash up the stairs first, pop my head out or something, see what's going on there, make sure there's not like fucking a bunch of guards up there waiting for us or whatever as well.
Yeah, sure.
Can I very quietly look up the stairs?
Yeah,
you silently look up the stairs.
Oh yeah, sweet. All right, cool.
You jump on every step on the way up. You're
just
having
like,
a great time.
Fucking steps! Ah! Nothing happens.
Just making sure, just in case the spell didn't work or something with that DC spell save, whatever magic. You know, I still want to have cautions.
You head all the way up, and you end up on what is just a kind of wooden walkway around the inside of the tower, and then there's an archway to your left, leading out
onto
the kind of outside of the building.
Okay,
go that way.
Yeah, have a little peek round.
You peek your head around the corner, and you see this elvish woman with a kind of hair drawn back into a big ponytail,
mm-hmm.
and she's.
Freaking out.
Doing this, she's got a finger in her ear and she's kind of trying to dislodge something. She's doing it at the other ear.
Shit, she's deaf.
And she's freaking out a bit.
Yeah.
And she's looking around. You see her.
Yeah. Fuck that. That's fine. Just let her freak out on her own. Be deaf.
In a minute, she's gonna run down here.
Yeah. And when she does, we can kill her. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I leg it back down the stairs. I do the hand signals to you that you know are just like you know, woman upstairs. Don't know. And well, I grab
hang
the staff.
On,
grab
on,
the
hang
staff.
On.
Yeah.
Hang
and
on.
I'm
quickly,
already
roll
in
back.
The...
Roll back. What are those hand gestures?
Those hand gestures. Woman. Woman.
Boobies.
Yeah.
Paddy just did a thumbs up.
I'm pointing upstairs.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do one person.
Yeah.
One.
First,
I'm going to point down here. Like they're like down the stairs. So like up there, there's a person
I really want to put you two in a situation where you have to interpret each other's sign language just to see how it fits. But I don't.
That was, that
it's great how
time.
Podcasts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, I can't really do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, while that's gone on, I've tried to get in that drawer.
Oh yeah, the drawer.
Get a magic thing out.
I forgot you had detect magic because I was going to make you roll a d20 to see which drawer you opened, but you were
that drawer.
Yeah, you do the right. Inside this drawer, you see you remember when you fought Vandra in the Tower of Burr?
Yeah.
You remember the livery of the banners and some of the skeletons that were there?
Yeah, yeah.
The blue lion, kind of rampant, you know, in that
I remember
medieval heraldry. And as you pull this drawer out, you've seen it's been quite kind of neatly packaged. Clearly an item that someone cares about is a shield, a normal kind of kite shield, quite a big shield size.
Oh, shield. Sick.
You can see
shield?
There's a little kind of...
I think so.
There's a little... I mean, it's... you can see there's a little note tagged to it that says, like, taken from the Tower of Burr following Vandra's defeat.
Cool.
And it's like a little tag on it. Yeah. And that's,
all right,
that's
yeah. I use it instead of my own shield.
You're gonna like show it to me.
I make sure. Hey, look at
I'll
that.
I'll be like,
there's my shield. You take that one, and I'll take this one.
It's
cool. All right, sick.
Not a shield you recognise, Glitch.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, bollocks.
See, your shield was mirrored. That's the whole point of it.
Oh, right. I thought I just assumed this was the shield.
I know you did.
Sick. All right. Oh. Revenger's shield, this is called. Thanks, Lars. It says can be wielded as a normal shield. That's good to know. Otherwise, it would have been long.
Useless as a normal shield.
As an action, the wielder may throw the shield at a target within 30 feet by making a ranged attack. Target takes 1d6 plus strength mod damage. Mood damage?
Yes, plus 1 strength.
Oh, yeah,
on a
hit, shield will bounce to a second target. Shield will bounce to a second target. On a crit fail, shield will bounce to a nearby ally.
Oh, God.
As a bonus action, you may recall the shield to your... So I've got a shield version of Thor's hammer, and it's...
Or Cap shield.
And it's... Oh, Captain Marvel. Yeah. That's rad. Yeah.
Sick. Some kind of shield version.
Some kind of superhero shield.
Yeah, all right, cool. I'm an idiot, but I've got a sick shield.
Banging.
All right, so yeah, I immediately equip that. I'm hoping that you're already over there getting the staff.
The second you pick up that shield, I'm jealous, so I grab the staff to show off. As I touch the staff, does it explode?
No, give me an arcana check.
Oh, great. Okay.
Just see what you pick up about this just by holding it.
11.
11, okay. It's a bit fuzzy. Again, this is, you know, one of the drawbacks of your new body and mind and body not quite linking up, but you're like, there's the hum of another wizard on this staff.
I am
another magic user. It's like, you know, it's like wearing someone's clothes and you have to smell them on
Okay.
There's like a signature on this. But again, the power, there is like bound power in this thing. There is some thing that's way beyond your ken. And it's also not necromancy. And it also doesn't feel like, well, 11 will give you this. It doesn't feel like anything like when you talk to your god or access your god's kind of divine powers.
Okay.
Some other, and like, as I said, Zach picked up, it was conjuration magic.
Mm. Rad.
All right, so you've got
now we've both got sick weapons.
Cool.
I imagine we're both very happy, but yeah. I'm immediately panicking about this.
Oh, no, I've already got a plan for that.
Okay, great. You're going to throw a fucking shield at her whilst I blast holes and shit.
No, I was thinking more, rather than use the shield, like throwing it around for the first time when she walks through, I was just going to position myself at the bottom of the staircase with my Warhammer. So, like, when she walks around, I kind of, like, Three Stooges smack her in the face as hard as I can.
So, you're behind the stairs.
Yeah, like, so I'm, like, by... You know, like, what we did with the Gigantor's house? When we were in your house, Glitch's house, Liam and I stood on either side of the door.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To attack. I'm, like, to the side. If she comes down...
Wicked. Glitch, you up to?
Well, I guess I actually don't think... Because of the silence thing, I don't really think I can cast much. So I won't be that much use with magic and stuff like that because I need to say shit.
But you've got the staff thing though, right? You can blast.
I could just aim the staff at her and hope it fires something.
Just like the moment, just.
All right, I'm gonna get roughly out of sight as well and assume that this lady's gonna come down.
Cool.
Have you got any? You got none with no verbal components.
Actually,
like maybe we don't need to wait for her. Why don't we just go up and
what and tank her?
Yeah.
I mean that is pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Do I have any non-verbal? No, every single spell I have is verbal.
Okay, sweet.
I have, though... I've got a non-verbal spell. If in case the fight starts to go badly, I've got a way we can...
Okay.
...use some magic without...
I'm hoping this thing might have charges in it or something. I've got a trigger somewhere. I'm like looking around the staff, hoping.
Love that in your head, you've like your magic staff is just a rifle.
Yeah. seeing Teddy begin to hide, I also hide as well and just kind of point at where I think this person's going to come out of.
Okay. You wait for a second and then you only glimpse it really. You're still getting used to this weird sensation of not being able to hear anything, which I know sounds stupid, but you don't, there's these rickety old wooden stairs. You don't hear the footsteps as this elf paces along through the door, starts making her way down the stairs. It's only when you catch a kind of flash of her guard's uniform and this ponytail flicking by, and she's passing just through the last two steps down at the moment, hasn't seen the two of you.
And I shout, "Tanker!" And it does nothing.
No, like, as I said, we're on either side. She wouldn't see us because we're on either side of the doorway.
Mm. So you're going to fucking...
Like, baseball bat swing, two-handed the hammer.
Give me an attacker with advantage.
That is a 16 plus 5.
That'll do it. Easy.
Cool. Should I roll again just to see if it's a crit? You said I got advantage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Not like, that's not just how I play the game.
Can I have another go?
It's not.
It's not a crit.
Okay, roll to damage.
Oh, yeah, so that's 1d8 plus 3. Where's the d8? And then with a successful hit, right, so I've got this thing called... I'm conscious that I don't want to get into like a thing with this woman being here, or she might sound the alarm or whatever the fuck.
Got Divine Smite, which is once a day, right? Once a rest?
Once a day. And it's one spell slot, and it's just add 2d8 to my attack damage.
That'll be
3d8.
That'll basically be all your...
That's all my spells, but like, that's nearly the end of the day. Other than that,
yeah, we're nearly done here, right? Well, I'll use them up.
I'm gonna
go for it.
3d8.
Yeah.
7. 2. Ooh. 4.
13.
You swing and she doesn't see it, and you probably catch her right in the... Well, no, you tell me. How do you want to do this, Zach?
I think Draka's like instincts just take over, and he's seen it right at the last second. It's completely instinctive, and he's just swung and clocked her perfectly, like Warhammer. You know, like the rectangular bit. I'm kind of imagining my Warhammer's a bit like a meat tenderizer, kind of with the square. That, like, straight in her face.
You leave the fucking blacksmith's mark.
Yeah, there's a comedy imprint of Warhammer directly on her face. Like, and it's like, you know when you get a cartoon, get hit with an anvil, and it just like, makes thinking, it flat.
Well, you would get that, but you just get... clock her right in the temple, and she keels over and straight on the floor.
That feels so bad. But
I'm
also,
just like, I've been trying, it looks so violent.
It's so
stood
violent.
There with my little eagle staff, like, okay.
Just like that. Our characters have been traveling together for like years and years, and you're still shocked by the incredible level of violence that Draka is capable of.
Oh, it's quite nice, really. It's a nice surprise.
And then, I mean,
well, next,
we're going to keep robbing, or we're going to go upstairs. We should hide her, just so in case the guards.
Should we stuff her in a locker?
Wow. I mean, you can do it silently.
Yeah, that's just pop her out the way, you know.
Oh, yeah, stuff. I've got three things that I'd like to kind of get through.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I was thinking like, all right, stuff her in a locker.
Yeah.
I've got the shield that I wanted from this room.
Yeah.
And then
fire a cannon.
Maybe we'll go through a couple more lockers, see if there's any potions or any shit like that, but I also could just swerve that and go and fire a cannon at the mess hall. Not the mess hall, we should be clear. I don't want to just kill randomly while they're eating for no reason. We could go up to the cannon and decide what's best, I guess.
Alright, so I'm imagining I'm seeing you immediately start to drag this body somewhere, and I know what's going on. So I'm going to go and find a locker to find which one's the most appropriate, and I'm quite curious anyway, so I might just have a little look through
the
lockers.
Give me an investigation then. Have a good look.
Sweet, I get to do my investigations. That is an 8 plus... An 11.
An 11. Good enough to find an elf-sized locker.
Oh.
You open it up, and inside you find...
An elf.
Another
Hello.
Elf.
I'm free! Three wishes!
In this locker you see a huge battle axe that is in incredibly poor repair. The haft is basically completely snapped in two. There are splinters all coming out of the wood. The head itself is pretty rusted, but it's huge and it's taking up this tall locker.
Okay, well, that's a tall locker. We could get a body in there. If I point at the axe, can you see an aura around it? I'm pointing at the axe and then I'm doing this with my eyes.
Oh, that's a point, actually, yeah.
No.
Cool. All right, so I take the axe, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
Yeah, sure.
It's in pretty shit repair.
It might be someone's. It might, like, for instance, it might be Zebish's axe. I mean, we don't know who Zebish is, you and I, at this point, but, like, it could...
Nah, fuck it, I don't want to carry more shit around. Just put her in the locker. I put her in the locker.
You put her in the locker next to the axe, and you close the door, and nobody will be any the wiser.
Yeah, I guess.
And as the door closes, you push her face back onto the axe.
Oh, God.
You wouldn't know. Just give it a good... You're like... Bang! And you slam it.
I just didn't want to
give each other a thumbs up and then upstairs
we literally pointing upstairs, but like my commando miming is just me just like kind of going
like, can I try to mime a cannon, like, somehow?
A Rambo mime.
Yeah, fuck it. All right, let's go up and investigate this cannon situation.
You head upstairs, and you're now on the promontory around the top of this, of the keep. Mm-hmm. And you've got a great view of the whole courtyard here. You can see a couple of patrols with the dogs and the torches wending their way around the yard.
Shouting all of them, you're a fucking idiot, you wankers.
You can see the four towers at each of the four kind of corners of the compound with guards up there all looking out at the moment, from what you can tell. And yeah, you've got a great view of kind of the whole place from up here.
I am phenomenally curious to know what you two do now.
You got. I give you one fucking guess, Liam. What are we doing right now?
And of course, the other thing that is up here is the cannon itself. You see a neat little, a neat monkey of cannonballs. Is that the right application of that word?
Yeah, that is.
And looking over to Liam as our nautical expert here.
Yep. Just gutted that there isn't a neat monkey there.
I am the cannon monkey!
Attended in a little suit. A little besuited monkey.
Will sirs be firing at today? may I pay attention to the wadding I have collected?
This is a premium wadding.
And you see all the requisite goods you need to fire a cannon. You also notice on... because it's on the south-facing side, the kind of southwest-facing corner, you can turn it around a bit, but it's got a kind of... The angle of shooting is going to miss out. No, I'm going to change that because it's way too fun for your plan. It's on the southeast corner of this building. So you've got an arc of fire that basically extends to kind of from midday round to 9 o'clock.
Great, okay.
A big angle of midday round to 9 o'clock.
Sweet.
Cool. All right, yeah.
All right, mate. Shall we just fire a cannon? Because I feel like we're here now. We got rid of the guards. We don't know how long this silence thing's going to work for. And we could just blow a fucking hole. This could be our chaos bit.
I was going to say, I know that we don't know this as characters, but Liam has just kicked shit off over his side of things. I think we're getting to crunch time in general. I reckon. We take out that tower and then start the fire?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. And then maybe fire into the fire as well.
So I hope we convey that to each other through a number of hand gestures, but I'm just like...
Also, like, we would have made it funny in our character voices as well.
Of course.
It actually would have been very, very good.
Yeah, it would have been super, really nice.
Okay. So you're aiming for what?
Let's go for that northeast tower.
Yeah, so we're kind of tower. Like the tower that we know is connected to the like cells, and we know the torture room is there. We don't know Liam's there or whatever, but like that we know that that's an important bit of
that fort. Tower that's connected to both the torture cells and the officers' quarters.
Oh, it's slightly farther.
No.
I'll tell you what.
We're not firing out that building. Let's go for the tower. Let's knock down the fucking tower, blow a big hole in everything.
And I think we should also start the fire. And I think we should reload it really quickly just in case the officers come out so we can fire at them directly as well.
So, okay, we're loading a cannon. That's what we're doing.
That's doing it. Yeah.
Okay. Give me, because there's two of you, Pads, I'm going to come to you, but give me a flat dexterity check with advantage.
Okay.
So just d20 plus dexterity.
That'll be 3 plus 2, that's a 5. And that'll be 9 plus 2, that's an 11.
11, okay. The two of you make slightly heavy work of this. Maybe in fact... Oh, alas. Almost drop a cannonball over the edge of the wall, and then you're like, I just managed to grab it. You stuff it in.
I love that I'm letting you pick up the cannonball. Like, I know for a fact that you can barely pick up your own head.
You're definitely doing the heavy lifting, but his glitch is, you know, commandeering the cannon and moving it around into place. And, you know, by trial and error, you just about get it round to face the northeastern tower.
Cool.
And you do a little bit of calculus. You're trying to calculate it. In fact, give me a ranged attack roll.
Oh,
okay. To see, just to represent how true your aim is.
Who's firing it? Are you firing it? Have you got proficiency with ranged weapons? Because I'm pretty sure I do.
I use slings and darts.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's actually better. I actually don't have proficiency with ranged weapons.
Yeah, I'm just afraid.
Oh no, I got a javelin.
You're not proficient with a cannon.
No.
I'm just checking.
It might be on there.
All right, ranged attack. 13 plus 2, 15.
Okay, well, I can't believe this is happening. I shouldn't have given you a cannon, but you...
This is happening this fast, is isn't it? I've just realised that we've, in a time when we can't discuss something, we've both gravitated towards, we'll just fire the cannon.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've got no plan. And also, like, I quite enjoy the fact that Laurie came over to us for us to do a little bit of like light robbing, and we have completely ruined Liam's well thought out plan.
Also, what's super banging is because no one will hear the cannon.
They've got
what's
no
going to happen is just a guard tower's going to hopefully collapse.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll be like, what the fuck's going
there's
on?
No,
there?
There's no
boom.
Not, I can see it in your eyes. You're trying to find a way for everyone to immediately know that the cannon was fired, but there can't be
from
one.
The massive flash and explosion.
It'll be a cannonball.
Yeah, but under like rubble and shit though. Like, and also, we're not firing it at people. There's going to be no one immediately there.
There's two people in the guard tower. But yeah, we're hitting at the guard tower.
You aim it round. You light the fuse. The fuse ticks down. And then
just look at each other. So, what are we doing?
As you look at each other, you almost miss. And you feel this vibration in the floor as the cannon fires. And a cannonball goes sailing over towards the northeastern corner of the compound.
I'd just like to make it very clear that when that happens, Paddy and I silently high five.
Without looking at each other.
Like without looking at each other. And also, even though it's a sphere of silence, you can tell it's one of those high fives that's got the most banging sound. Like, you know, when you really get a good high five.
But if you're saying that, it would be us silently high fiving whilst in the background of the shot, the rest of the cannonballs start rolling off the side. onto Bingus and Bongus. And like,
as Loz has pointed out, the cat's out of the bag. Yeah. We just fired
the
cannon.
The neat monkey watches from above. Just
sick. I'm super happy with how that whole little bit went.
Liam, you're standing over the kind of collapsed figure of Morian, who is screaming and spitting. You fucking little rock boy, you get me? And she's like bleeding on the floor, barely kind of keeping up. The human in front of you is kind of agog and aghast and saying like, what the fuck is, what are you doing?
You're coming with me. And I'm just going to break his shackles.
Break his arms.
You're going to tell him why?
I'm not going to tell him why.
No, he looks pleadingly at you. He's just like, oh, fucking finally. Mm. And you undo it, you know, these little manacles on his arms. And meanwhile, a voice from over your shoulder says, oi, oi, Fatty, what's going on? And you look over and Zebish is standing behind Vim, having just clocked him in the back of the head and knocked this poor guard out. And as the two of you kind of look at each other in celebration, give me just a perception check to see if you can pick up on something.
Okay, so that's
I reckon
a
I know
nine.
What Loz is doing right now.
A nine.
That's a nine.
Okay. Of the two things that happen, one of them passes you by. One thing you do pick up on. You do pick up on a shadow kind of falling across the floor, as if something behind you has just appeared, and it's kind of circular and it's undulating at the top.
Oh crap.
And you can hear this little come from behind you. The thing you don't get any advance warning on, however, is the briefest and suddenly there is hell as the entire stone room you're in shakes. And dust is sent scattering down from the ceiling. As bricks start falling down into the room, and something else has happened outside
I'm
at the
so
same time.
I'm so proud of
God,
us.
God, I wonder
dude.
What that was.
I am so proud of us.
And we'll be back next time to find out how we get out of this sticky pickle.
Pickle of your making.
Yeah, but like, this time, Liam, it's your fucking problem.
It's always my problem.
I am very happily not blind somewhere else.
Thank you.